Mark Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, I can see all your WhatsApp coming through here, whether it's a yay or nay. And many of y'all are saying, yes, America's dollar will come to an end rather soon. And even America will soon no more have. It is a toothless power. Many of you are saying that. And looking at who's coming through, Iqbal has come through. And Molana has come through. Yusuf also has come through. There's a... who's this? Tariq and Rashid Asif, and who's also listening to us this morning is Vauda is listening to us, and one more, Nadim also says, I agree, America will soon be history. Well, joining us on Straight Talk is our very own counselor, Ahmed Tariq, and alhamdulillah, Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmed?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, alayna asalam to all our radio listeners on a beautiful Sunday morning. Allah has blessed us with another beautiful day today, Shafat.
I tell you, Ahmed says it beautifully. Kis kis nimati apki rabki jutlaoge fabi alai rabbikumatu kaziban. So which is it of the favors of your Lord will you deny? You get up every day, you take in a pint of air. Every second, people, one pint of air. Mahala. Mahala, you're not paying. Ask Ahmed, they say, go to the corner shop, buy me some airtime. For how much? 5 rand. Pay as you go, Boniface. You pay through your nose. Yeah, for all that. But Ahmed, on the reality of the things, on a coffin duffin, things are bad. Things are sad. I mean, they're striking and they're holding us to ransom. You know, the point is, and then also you find Muslims being cremated. Ahmed, talk to us. It's a very dire warning. Talk to us. You are a man over 30 years of experience in Kafan Dafan. Talk to us, Ahmed. Talk to us.
Shabazz, you're 100% right in that. It was a very sad week to get information that a Muslim born has now had to be cremated. Where are we going? What are we doing? Where is the problem? You know, people are dying to become Muslim. Yeah, he became a murtad and he was cremated. So, you know, Mufti Saab put it in a very nice way a few days ago in the morning show that, you know what, people are today haven't got direction. And our Muslims especially, you know, they need to do research, see people all over the world. The fastest religion in the world, Islam, coming. People are coming to our fold, and here we get born Muslim, want to become cremated. Now, you know, these are the things, these questions need to be answered. There is a problem from the parenthood, from lack of knowledge. Somewhere there is a problem. So these things need to be ironed out. But, you know, Allah knows best. These are the things. That's the one issue. The other issue is, I don't blame the forensic medicine, the Department of Health, the people working on the ground, on all the government mortuaries, that the facilities are in a very, very bad state. And people are getting sick. You know, some of them have to get boarded out. They're not even 60 years yet, but they're getting boarded out because they got illness now, because there is no proper equipment in terms of PPE, and the bodies are kept in a such a state that never ever happened. You know, I've been, as you said, over 30 years plus in this duffel coffin industry, especially working with the mortuaries all over the province, all over the country, actually, Shabazz. And this is the first time I've seen it is in such a bad state that, you know, even if it takes us another 2-3 years, I don't think we're going to get it right, because there's so much to be done. The infrastructure is falling. They need to get new fridges. Some of the fridges don't even work. How do you expect those poor workers to work? They also got children. Now, whatever happens, bacteria, especially in mortuary, those poor people, they do not have proper shower facilities or anything like that. They're rushing in the evening to get back to home, and they're meeting the children and all that. And so far, this is a major, major concern. I think this is one time they have made up their mind that they want to bring this whole country to a standstill. Yesterday, I had a MEC phoning me. He says, Councillor Farooq, please, I need your assistance. I said, you need my assistance. You are an MEC. You're serving in the province. You need my assistance. He says, no, people told me you will get it done. A cousin of mine was shot in Toti, the ex-councillor as well. We need to cremate him today, a non-Muslim brother. Please, what can you do? I said, I'm a Durban city councillor. What contact do you think I got? He says, no, you don't have to give me all your sermons. I need your assistance. That's what I'm phoning you for. So I told him, don't worry, my brother. Let me see what I can do. I phoned him an hour later. I said, I've made arrangement. You know, although it's not a Muslim body, priority only is given to Muslim, Hindu, and Jews, special request for post-mortem. But in this case, your undertaker has made a big mistake. They said they're going to cremate on Monday. Now you want to cremate on Sunday. Now that has caused a big problem. Let me see what I can do. And I spoke to the manager. I said, you know what, it's a friend of mine, and the MEC called me. You need my assistance. What can you do? He says, okay, this weekend we don't have anybody. We're not going to do post-mortem because for the last 3 to 4 weeks, we've been working Monday to Sunday, and we are really exhausted. And I told my team not to be here for the weekend because there's no post-mortem. And he had to call his team out just to get that one body, that ex-counselor. We managed to give him. And he phoned me last night and he sent me a text message, Shafat. He said, I'm an MEC, but what influence you have to get things done, I don't even think few MECs or member of parliament have got the influence and you can make. I said, work with the people on the ground. Don't work with the people on the top. People on the top cannot do anything. People on the ground do the work. So he sent me a nice message thanking me that they're cremating the body today sometime, Shafat.
Well, Ahmed, there's something strange in the politics. And who are you going to call? All of you all, say it with me. Ahmed Parak. Councillor Ahmed Parak, well done there, Ahmed. And, you know, I know the person that you're talking about. And it seems as if, you know, when you look at the ANC politics, are they, knocking each other off because of the pie? Each one wants to go in there and thinks that, you know, I become a councillor or if I get into government, I'm going to make a lot of money. Talk to us, Ahmed. What's really happening, especially in the house of the ANC? They seems like they, they're shooting their own comrades. Talk to us, Ahmed. The allegations are there.
Shafat, if you went to Lutuli House in Joburg, the people are toying there because they haven't got paid for the last 3 months. ANC workers, employees have not got paid for their toying. You read this morning's paper, you'll see the middle of the Sunday press day, there's a big article, ANC staff not paid. Now, these are the things. And then we got issues here in the city too. They're fighting, Shafat, the ruling party is fighting for survival, actually. Now, they will do everything to keep that seat, because for them it's a gravy train for them, because you know what, they know nothing but to stay in government and enrich themselves. That is the only thing they have. They don't have anything. So this is a problem. They have got a major, major problem, and they know one thing for sure, that they're not going to get majority in this country, and it's going to be a coalition government, and this is actually going to kill them. And this is a problem that we all have, because to work with coalition government, we're not geared up like any other country in the world. We have to now, in fact, my party and various other parties are going overseas to go and get a model of how the coalition is working. Because otherwise, we're going to come back to square one. We won't have a government left. Because if you don't put him in, he's out. So then you come back to square one, you won't get a vote. So to work coalition, everyone has to play the game to come on the table and put this country. If they have got the country at heart, I don't think they want to have a problem, the coalition government want to work. But, you know, the infighting at the moment is massive, massive. You know, the conference is around the corner in December, within about 2 months, less than 6 weeks time. Things are happening drastically, and they're all fighting for survival at the moment, Shafat.
Yeah, Ahmed, looking at a message on the screen. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Sad indeed, Ahmed Tariq. I want to know, a lot of our young boys are getting married to non-Muslim girls. Is there a danger of the wives asking for the husbands to be cremated? Talk to us, Ahmed, because we are scared for our likees. Ahmed?
Shafat, in fact, what we always maintain, and I've been preaching this for the last umpteen years, when you marry into a non-Muslim, there is a form that we have delegated the Jamatul Ulama, all the undertakers, all our Muslim burial services have got a form that I am a Muslim. You can go marry, long as she comes into the fold of Islam and she finds that form that on my demise, I must be buried as Muslim right. Now, when the people getting married, they don't do all these things. First, they don't get themselves registered. Secondly, they don't fill this form here. All this, then it comes and bites us in the end. Then the parents' family of the non-Muslim comes to the house and say, no, I want my daughter to be cremated. Then what do you want to do? Then the big tug of war, there's a fight and everything. How many times I had to go to bring an do an urgent application to court to separate this issue here and to say and how we had to substantiate it. But she did say this, the husband will sign an affidavit if it was my wife for 14 years. She did say that anything, that's how she married me. There's we got a marriage certificate here that I made nikah. I've accepted the fold of Islam, all that. But that form, that main form you don't have, it is a problem. So that's why I say, when you get married to a non-Muslim girl, go and get that form filled that on my demise, I must be buried on Muslim rites. So that's easy, ABC, and you just sign that off, nothing. We take that, even if they want to go to court, we tell them, be my guest, we'll go to court and we'll fight them.
I'm looking at a message on the screen, and Habib says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tariq, Shafa'at, and Marcus Sahaba. Lovely show indeed. Straight talk is one of my favorites. Ahmed Tariq, why is it that the Kabristan here in our Kauteng region, we're having issues of graves? The graves are overfull and the Kabristan is overfull, and then we are not recycling, and then it is very unsafe, and the infrastructure has been violated and so forth. Please, Ahmed Tariq, can't you come and advise our members here how to run it like how you guys are running it in Durban? I don't hear of any problems in all your Kabristan. Please, Ahmed, I hope I'm not reacting, and maaf in advance if I hurt anyone's feeling. How do you respond to Habib there, Ahmed?
Shabab, Habib is right in that sense. Yes, there is a shortage of cement with Kabristan in Joburg. In terms of our Muslim rights, we can recycle. The council, the city park, has given them consent to recycle. They have given them additional land. I think that is also full. Now they have got a new site. But I've been always preaching, and I made it very, very clear from the very outset when I first formed Islamic Burial Council. I said to all the organization, PE, Cape Town, all over, that what we did in KZN, do an MOU with the city and take over so we can maintain the cemeteries ourselves, put a team together. And especially, Shafat, when it comes to the dafan, kafan and cemetery, you go to any one of our Muslim community. If he can't give you R1,000, I promise you, wallahi, I tell you on air, he will give you R200. And if you go to 20 by 200 rand, you will have your 2,000 rand. And you can get so much of money when it comes to the dafan kafan work. People are there to give it because they know one day they have to land in 6 feet under. So they are prepared to do it. So take over from the council, maintain yourself. It will cost in the beginning, the infrastructure will cost you some money. But the people are there, Joburg especially, a lot of people will give you. Form an organization like Islamic Burial Council. We have already formed in Mapolanga and various other places. There is an organization already, Islamic Burial Council. We have already planted the seed. But I don't know why they don't want to take the cemetery over and do an MOU with you, the council. And we need to maintain those cemeteries, and you won't have a problem. This is the way to go.
Now, Ahmed, the main question here is why are these Kabristan are being violated, the fences are broken, and I mean, these crooks, even there's a CCTV cameras, they're stealing the cameras, they're taking away the ablution facilities, the taps and so forth. I mean, we know the country is imploding, but nothing can be done. Why, Ahmed?
Shafat, when you're in the control of the government, you see, the cemetery is owned by the city. Now, within that cemetery, you'll have Hindu section, you'll have Jewish section, you'll have the other section, other grouping. And we will have one section, they will say, okay, 1,000 graves within this cemetery is for the Muslim. It is our duty now to make sure that we maintain and put proper adequate security, do whatever it is, because our brothers are buried there, our sisters are buried there, our family is buried there. So do something about it. It's no use waiting for the council to do something. We know council do not have money. And if we're not going to do anything, more things, they'll come and take the fence away. They take the gates away. They take your CCTV away, as you said. They'll take all your cables away. They won't have no life there. You won't be able to do a life barrier. So our section barricaded. You can even put a block wall. They can't break a block wall. Put a block wall, put a proper gate, and put a security. And that's what we are doing in all our cemetery. Today, alhamdulillah, we don't have, in the last 15 years so far, nobody has taken one piece of metal from our cemetery. That's how we stringent, we have got a control over all our cemetery. And this is what they need to do. But in Joburg, I think they're only depending on the council. It says, no, this is not our work. It is a council cemetery. We're only using our section. But if you're using our section and you've got 1,000 graves there, maintain that 1,000 graves, sort that thing out, and I promise you, you won't have any problem, Shabbat.
I see a message here. Sosi Wala says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Tarak. I know you as a man of integrity. I must congratulate you. Since you all have taken over Brook Street and other cemeteries, the story has been success, and more success. But I want to know from you, Ahmed, when you walked through Brook Street, you saw many of the white graves that are there with the stories on the tombstones. Are you all recycling those graves also? Are you allowed to use those graves, or do you not touch it? Because I know some of my relatives are buried in that section. How do you respond to Sosi Wala, Ahmed?
Shabbat, in Brook Street, there's one section where our area is fenced up completely. That's the section in terms of the MOU we have got. Then on the outside, on the European side, there's a small section that was given to people, went direct to the council and took over to buy those, do a lease with the council. And at that time, I was the chairman of the organization, and I made myself very, very clear to all the people, and we went on air, we did everything. Do not buy because it's out of our boundary of our Muslim section. In terms of Sharia law, any cemetery where you got Muslim buried, it has to be barricaded. And that section is not barricaded, and I said to them, why go and buy on the outside when we got so much of space on the inside? The Anjuman Trust, the Orient Trust, we got, if you want to bury 200 people today, Shabbat, on a Sunday, and if there's a major accident or something, or the plane crash, and they have to be buried in Brook Street, I guarantee you I'll open 200 graves for you today. That's how it is. So we got so much of graves, why go and buy on the outside of the cemetery, when the Sharia law makes it very, very clear for you to be buried within the parameters of a Muslim section?
You know, Ahmed, you're making a lot of sense. And how many Muslims have bought out of the barricaded section, Ahmed? Quite a few?
There is about 35, 40 people have bought outside there. And a lot of them have now given it to Islamic Burial Council. He said, you know what, Ahmed Parak came on air, he told us that, you know what, take it and bury a Malawi. I said, what? Malawi brother is a Muslim. Why must I put him on the outside of the section when I can put it in the inside of the section in Brook Street. I don't see color, whether it's Burundi, whether it's Malawi, whether it's from Turkey, whether wherever you are from. I will make sure if you want to bury it in Brook Street, we will give him on the inside instead of the outside, Shafa.
Now, the point is, how often do these Europeans use that section of the graveyard? Or, you know, once they cremate, they throw the ashes into the sea, Ahmad?
That's correct. But the European section, we have got, Islamic Burial Council has got nothing to do with it. It is completely run by the council. We have absolutely no say with it and all that. You see, it's in a very, very, very bad state. And you will see that because hardly anybody, the whites don't even come there to bury there. Occasionally, maybe you might get 2 a year or something. So, you know, end of the day, there's nothing. But the only thing, if we want to take it over, you'll say, okay, fine, they're not coming there, they're not doing anything about it. Why don't you extend our site, Brook Street, by another 500 days? Now, the remains has to be removed. The law says, whoever is buried there, you have to go 6 feet, 8 feet, whatever it is, take the remains and find an alternate grave for them, then only you allowed to take it. It's a big mission to do that. Therefore, we will not even touch it. We won't go that way.
Yeah, it's a big, you know, palaver if you look at it, and then you need to know all the bylaws and so forth. And how many are conscientized to all these types of things? But alhamdulillah, you have been through it all. And, you know, like, I don't know if you wrote a history on yourself, or, I mean, the do's and don'ts of how to, you know, secure graveyards and the municipal bylaws and all that. You know, are you conscientizing or are you putting this in book form, Ahmad?
Shafat, I was very, very close. The late Farooq Khan, the journalist of Daily News, he begged me on a few occasions. Unfortunately, maybe it was not in my taqdeer. He did keep calling me, Ahmad, come and sit with me on a few Saturday morning. Let's put a book together. It says, Ahmad Farooq, Dafan Kafan, like what you say on our show here, and giving out the whole history about Brook Street, in terms of burial, how we can bury, how many you can put in a grave, what is the recycling method, the various Muslim brothers, foreigners, how they bury in our cemeteries, what they do, and how they do not use the spade to close the cupboard, all that he wanted from me. In fact, he made so much of notes, and he was just about to put it together, and Allah took it, you know, to bump us on this dunya, Shafat.
Yeah, absolutely. Farooq and I are very, very close indeed. What a great man. Allah fill his cupboard with nur and grant him Jannah fulfilled. Those message on the screen, he says, Ahmad Farooq, I would love to remain anonymous. I have 3 Malawian brothers working for me, and alhamdulillah, 2 have the papers. One is in the process of getting it, but seems to have a dead end. I want to know from you, if they pass on, is there only one cemetery available for them? Is it only the Red Hills Cemetery? Please advise, Ahmad.
Javad, we got Red Hills Cemetery, we got Brook Street Cemetery, we got Mobeni High Cemetery, we got Dudley Street Cemetery in Jacobs, we got Cavendish that is in Totogana. That if that business person who is employing them, and if he's in Durban and he wants to be buried in Durban and surrounding in one of our cemeteries, we will gladly bury that brother there. There is no such thing, you know, it's a perpetual that people are saying that, you know what, our Malawi brothers or foreign brothers, we only put them in Red Hills. That is not the case. We bury them wherever it is close by, and some of them, if it's Lilla, we will take them to Red Hill. We take them to Mobeni Heights, we take them to Cavendish, and even in Jacobs. We got plenty of space. So far as space is concerned, for the next between 10 to 15 years, we do not have any shortage or anything. If anybody comes, I know people living in Tonga, you know, my entire family is in Brook Street. I said, bring the janaza to Brook Street, I'll get a grave for you. And I pick up the call, I said, so-and-so, they're going. They want Brook Street. We give them Brook Street. People come from Chatsworth, Phoenix. They moved away from Durban CBD. Now they're staying in other areas and all, but they still want to be buried in Brook Street. We give them Brook Street. There is no such thing that you only for the Lanis. Lanis here in Brook Street, and the battlers eat battlers in a red hill or anything like that. No, Lani eat lakka chow and battlers eat bani chow. I don't do that, Chapati. You know that.
Molana Patel, Ismail Patel. Yeah, yes. Ahmed said, come and have lakka bani chow with him. Well, talking about bani chow, Ahmed, prize of the pot. Ahmed, I really enjoyed that nasheed. Wa tera nabi wa mera nabi wa sabka nabi. Ya Mustafa, and alhamdulillah, ma baap ka dil ne dukha. Ahmed, you know, these are nasheeds that make you think deeply, Ahmed. Your thoughts?
What a beautiful, both the nasheed, Shafad, and the last one now, that, you know, Mark Adil, you know, that one day, if you only understand when you haven't got parents, then only you'll realize what you missed out in life, Shafat.
Absolutely, Ahmed. I'm seeing lots of messages coming through. This one says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Paraka. Please make sure that you and Shafat are buried side by side in the Kabristan, because you all can do straight talk from the grave. Ahmed, can you believe that? The guy reckon you and I have to be buried side by side. You better pick the plot now, Ahmed.
Shafad, you know, my favorite thing, Nya hu mera dil madine mein hai, Shafad.
You're like, Molana, you know, Spatel Rahimullah, you want to go to Medina, Ahmed?
Yeah, I want to go to Medina, Shafad.
Medina, Medina. Hey, play the next nasheed for Ahmed. Yeah, Medina, Medina, alhamdulillah. Well, Ahmed, I'm getting into our segment, Civic Talk, and I'm looking at some articles in the newspaper this morning, and some of them, I want to read it to you so that perhaps, you know, you can comment on this. And I'm quite amazed that these are the stories that are coming through, but alhamdulillah, as we say, okay, these are, it says, E. Coli sinks rugby clashes. It says, Irish, Scottish players to face sharks. And Lions hammered by bug after beach surgeon in Umhlanga. And I'll just read a paragraph. Durban's reputation suffered a massive blow when at least 50 international rugby players who were to have challenged the Sharks and the Lions in Durban and Johannesburg today were stricken with E. coli infections. Billed as the biggest party in Durban this weekend and an annual gathering for the whole family, the Sharks versus Ulster match has been postponed. Ahmed, what's going on here? E. coli, the bugs are biting these rugby players from overseas. You know, Shabbat, now with the lighter skin, you can see all the red marks. Talk to us, Ahmed.
Shabbat, we picked this thing up about 10 days ago. We wrote to the municipality telling him that, you know what, the raw soup from all these areas are going into our rivers. From the rivers, it goes into the sea. That's where you're having your bacteria level is coming up, and that's where you're getting your E. coli. Now, the problem is we have made ourselves very, very clear. We have given 10 days to the council to respond, and within 10 days, in terms of Section 127 of the Constitution, we are going to court. We bring an urgent application, and they'll have to fix this thing. Even if they have to go and bring other labor from other areas, or they must outsource it, they must do whatever it is. During the last 15 days, I've been fighting a matter for the eye hospital in Overport, opposite another hospital there in Overport. Yeah. Shafat, you won't believe it, but also is going into the surgery. And it's a hospital, eye hospital. They had to cancel some of the theaters for that day. They couldn't do anything because the thing was so bad. We went right up to the mayor, we went to the city manager, and they are working with it. They say they cannot do anything because they have to open the entire part of Overport to get this whole thing sorted out. So what they are doing, they're bringing the jet there, they're cleaning it up. And within a day and a half, 2 days, that thing fills up again, and this thing is now going into the actual surgery, you know, in your waiting area in the surgery. And you can't do anything. What can we do? We have, our hands are like tight. When I told the doctor in question, I told him, you know what, the only thing what you can do, get an outside company, let them open up much as they can from the various area in that vicinity to get you cleaned up. So by the time it fills up, it might take about 10, 12 days or something like that. And give me the bill, and then we will take it via the legal team we will take it to council and let the council do it, because you are losing in the last 10, 12 days. You've been how many operations you were supposed to have done for us. People were booked to do it and they couldn't come and do it because of this issue you have now. And we have to do something about it. And there's nothing much we can do.
Yeah, sad indeed, Ahmed. And this message says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaat. Great show, but I am not pointing a finger at Ahmed Parak here. But I generally would like to tell Ahmed that the city council is definitely a joke. And now it's known globally how ridiculously incompetent they are. The discharge from the Amgeni usually affects Umshlanga more than the central beaches. And these are basic things that they don't even know. Please, Ahmed Parak, I know that your party, Action SA, is going to take this Itikweni municipal mayors and so forth to court. Well done to you. But Ahmed, we have here in the Itikweni municipality become the joke and the butt of the world. Please, Ahmed, how do you respond to that?
Shabbat, firstly, the question that brother posed is you know, I agree with him what he says, that, you know what, that it is a joke, yet it is a joke. But that joke is caused by who? The very, very, very big question mark here. Our people are now jumping, are crying, they're not getting service delivery. These are the same people. I had a person come this week, and he came down hard on me, Shafaat, when I mean really hard, he came. He says, you are a counselor, you can't get this done, 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 done. I listened to me. You know how calm I am, Shafaat, you know that, right? I listened to him nicely. I said, brother, are you finished? He says, yes. I said, did you vote? He said, for the pounds I must vote? I said, one. I said, did you register with IEC? He says, no. I said, you are the first one to jump to get work done. Now you have not exercised your right. If you have only voted, then you have a bigger leg to stand, because you have did the right thing. Yeah, you did nothing, but you still want to jump that I am a counselor, I'm not doing anything. Did you vote for my party? Do you know me? He said, no, I heard you over the radio. I heard over the people know you, and you the one can get things done. I said, very well. I will try my utmost best, but I'll do, although you haven't voted for me or my party, but I'll still do the honorable thing because you are a Muslim brother of mine. I will try my best and I will do whatever it takes to get you sorted out. But in future, get your entire family registered. Even if you don't vote for me, for my Action SA, but try and vote for a party who will give you service delivery, and you can hold that counselor and hold him and say, you know what, I voted for you. I want my service delivery. Then you have a leg to stand. But you can't sit behind the scenes and expect things to happen when you do nothing about it. This is where I'm telling our community. You want to get things. All these guys, 50% of the people that keep phoning me on a day-to-day basis, I have in the region anything between 50 and 100 calls a day, Shafaat. And I can tell you from there, 50 of them, they don't even know me. They have only heard of me because I'm getting things done for people. They're coming to me. But they haven't been to the polling station for, I don't know, for umpteen years. But these are the same ones are jumping for service delivery. So the honorable thing my brothers, my sisters must do, go and get yourself registered by the IEC. Have a say. Then only you will be able to fix what you want. And I promise you, by doing that, we will get who we want, the right people in council, and you will get service delivery. I promise you that can happen. But if you sit back and you expect, nah, nothing will happen, then you'll be in a coma. That's what I would say.
Well, I think if I may add to this, Ahmed, you know, those that are not playing in the field are those that are not registered. Yeah, there are spectators screaming from the stands, hey, pass the ball, man, pass the ball, but they can't even move. I mean, would you accept that type of analogy, Ahmed?
Yes, 100%. Shafaat, in fact, I also tell our Jamaat brothers and sisters, I tell them, I said, y'all do not want to go there. He says, no, we don't want to wait in a queue. You know, we go further. I said, with all said and done, I will make special arrangement, the special votes, you ladies, in terms of our Sharia, they do not want to go out in the open or anything. Fine. You give me the name, the ID, I will make sure the ladies, not even a man will come to your house, two ladies will come, and I'll give you a police escort so that and one of our members will come there so nobody's going to touch or anything in your house or anything. You just put the cross the cross where you want it, for which party, and now you have got a say. That's what I'm saying to our community, Shafat.
Well, Amanda, yes, you're walking the talk on Straight Talk this morning. And people, Jazakallah Khair, a lot of your messages are coming through. And as for the poll, 99% of you have agreed that it is right that the American dollar will be history soon. It will be replaced by BRICS and gang, and it will be a different currency. And many are saying, what about the Bitcoin? Well, the Bitcoin is another fiat currency. Maybe I'll discuss that with Ahmad just now as I look at the message coming. He says, Ahmad Tarak, a great show indeed. Keep it up. We really look forward to Straight Talk. Tell us more about Itikweni, the 500 million light contract. We believe there are issues there too. Wassalam, Durban business owners. What's the big story about the 500 million light contract, Ahmad?
Shafat, that life contract went into tender, and apparently there is some discrepancy. There's a huge investigation on that. It is on a halt at the moment. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Let the investigation come out, and then we might be in a much better position, because we're putting a clamp on everything. We want to know where you're giving the contract, who's the contractor, when are they going to finish it, And what are they using? What kind of a material? All these questions we are asking. Therefore, you will find a lot of contracts being on a halt, because we want to, rather, you will put that contract on a halt now, hold it, put it on hold, get the proper information, make sure the right people are getting the job, and we can get the electricity done. And that's the only way we can go forward, because otherwise, they just can't get to. We only have $5 billion in our coffers. From now till the end of July 2023, how are you going to survive, Shafat, when 27% of the government department is not paying our rates and taxes, they're not paying electricity, they're not paying water? So how are you going to survive? We are, like, technically speaking, we are bankrupt. First time in the history of Itikweni municipality, we had to go and borrow money. We took an overdraft from NetBank. Those are our bankers. We have to take overdraft. Why do you have to take overdraft when 27% of the government entities are not paying for the light and water? So these are the things. Even we think the education department, why are you sending the money to the school instead of paying the municipality? Now, when you send it to the school governing body, and they've got other expenses and all that, they don't pay the electricity, but they're paying everything else. So for how do you come up? Electricity and water is your main thing you first pay before you do anything.
Good point there, Ahmad. I'm looking at this message. It says, Madad, Madad, Ahmad Bhai, Shafat Bhai, Madad. I'm Bangladeshi, have shop in Spingo, but one Pakistani brother take tax from us. If we don't pay, he get other fellows come to steal from our shop. Ahmad Bhai, this man, powerful. He even have security company. Please, Ahmad Bhai, what do I do? I'm frightened of this man. If I tell some more, he may come for me. Please, Ahmad Bhai, can you make Madad for me? Ahmad, how do you respond to this brother? He must be listening to us on his app or something. Ahmad?
Mother, help. He requires battery for that poor brother. We mustn't pay him 1 cent. You must set him up, do whatever it is. We want to know who that guy is. And we'll put him away behind bars. And we need to know if that is the case. He need to mobilize with the others. And then we will put him undercover, and we will... He cannot do that, Shafat. Nobody, besides the municipality, we don't pay anybody else anything. No, unless in Spingo, I know they are paying R1,000 a month. All the shop owners are paying. They cleaned up all the hunger boys, all the drug addicts there. They cleaned the whole Spingo. Spingo is now, in fact, somebody was telling me yesterday, tomorrow if you want to go and deliver on Monday to Jaguar Center or anything, even if your driver is there, at the Jaguar Center, nobody is going to come near his vehicle or anything, because there's proper security. They have cleaned that area. In fact, in the last 6 months, they say they didn't have any robberies or burglaries or anything in that area. Before you can even take the turn off to Jaguar Center, they will break your bucky, and they'll take whatever goods are in their vehicle. That has come to an end. So this brother must first report this matter to the police. He mustn't try. They can't do anything so far, because you know what? Once you let it go, they'll take from the other poor people as well. They're making money for Germany.
Ahmad, I like your optimism, and bhai, Madad bhai, get in touch with Ahmad Parak. And I mean, you know, I'm quite amazed. I talked to YT Jadwiz, and you know, I mean, you and I got very close connections in Spingo. But it's great to hear that Spingo has been cleaned up to such an extent, because recently there were stories of mafia gangs coming in Spingo, asking businessmen for protection money, and by shooting and killing the security guards and so forth. So this is a very good news you're giving us, Ahmad, and Jazakallah khair for that. And I like your positivity. This message says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. I want to know from you, I'm in arrears for rates and taxes for the past 3 years, and one of the reasons being that I was out of the country. The amount is quite exorbitant. Can I come to you for help to mediate with the Itikweni Council? Ahmad?
Javad, that brother, you can come with the greatest of pleasure. You can call me on 082-966-6674. He can call me first. He can come and meet my guy by the name of Rocky Naidu, who only handles rates and tax and queries for me regarding, people in areas with electricity, giving them time, all that. He will write you. Only thing what he has to do is we will do the homework for him. He need to go to the council. You'll have to spend maybe an hour or so, and then we'll make proper arrangement so you'll be able to pay it on an installment basis. You'll have to pay. If the amount is, say, 1,000 rand, maybe they'll tell you pay 200 rand now, and the balance over 18 months, maybe we can do something like that for you.
Well done. You're giving hope to the people, Ahmad. And this message comes from a brother in the South Coast. He says, I live right down the lower South Coast, and I'm from a town called Sheppies. Ahmad, we've got a stupendous problem in Sheppies. There's too many people from the subcontinent here working but not having the papers. What do we do, Ahmad? It's not because I have bad blood. It's because I'm afraid that they will give Muslims in this country a bad name. Am I correct in my assumption? Please, Ahmad, help.
Shafat, that brother is 100%. You know, when you're having in the region of anything from 20 to 22 million foreign brothers and sisters in our country. So, you know, what the government is looking at it at the moment as well, all those people that came from 94 onwards, in the last 27 years, but it was going to be a big mission, because now, because of the election is around the corner, 2024, they're not going to be able to do much, but they want to be a lifestyle audit in all how they came here, what they came in, how the application was done, whether you married a South African, some of them, the Bangladeshi, Pakistani, Indians and all that, they married these black girls in all our townships and everything. They just pay them on a monthly basis just for namesake, and then they registered to the Home Affairs and everything else to say that, I married a South African, that's why I live in this country. So, all that is, and then also we have got the two major kingpins, the Pakistanis, that we caught them in the last 4 to 6 weeks. They are behind bars at the moment. So they are unraveling a lot of things. Who they gave in the last 5 years? We are unraveling that. Who the contacts with? Some of the top officials from the Home Affairs have been already taken out from Home Affairs. They've been fired. So there is a big problem in terms of that, because we do not have a full count. That's one. Secondly, in terms of murders that is taking place in the country, people are coming here, they kill somebody, they get paid here, and they're going back to their homeland. And there's no case. We are, you can have the best of the best investigators. They're investigating. The files are there for 18 months, 2 years. It goes to court, and the judge says, lack of evidence, this matter is dismissed. So the perpetrator is gone. You lost how many lives like that? In the last Last 3 months, 456 lives were taken. You know, it's a big amount of people that we lose in the country. And these are all South Africans that are getting killed. So these are the problems that we are faced with. And in fact, the only way the Home Affairs have to tighten the system and which they are doing at the moment. So, you know, I'm sorry, some of the alims are here in this country as well. They will have to go through a system. They will be called in when you came, how you came, how much money you came with, how many of your family members are here. So there is going to be a big thing in the from now onwards, in the next 18 months, this is going to happen. And that's the only way we will be able to get this thing sorted out, because otherwise it is not going to come right, Shepard.
Ahmed, I don't know. You got telepathy. I mean, you can see things, Ahmed. Hey, some people say, hey, Ahmed, I'm coming for you, for Amil. You're Amil. You know what? I'm looking at this Christian on the screen, and he says, dear Ahmed Paduka, you walk the talk, and on Straight Talk is simply one of the best shows on any radio. Hey, Ahmed, that's a feather in your cap. And the brother goes on to say, sad to say, most of our religious institutes are compromised. Most of the people that they have from the subcontinent are illegally documented. Ahmed, how did you read this guy's mind? He stays anonymous, but you gave us a thought. Ahmed, is there any truth in that?
Shafad, there's a lot of truth in everything today, Shafad. You know, I'm giving you, because I work with these things on a day-to-day basis. I know exactly how it works and which is the real one, which is the fake. I can tell you on even the paper is the paper that is written on. So, you know, I can tell you even the typeset, because I know how these things work, Shafad.
I tell you, Ahmed, yeah. And if Allah forbid, if they have done wrong, I mean, our people have done wrong. You know, we human beings make mistakes all the time. How do they undo that wrong, Ahmed?
So, but there's only one way. You know, you see with government, when you come clean, your chances are much greater to get what you want. But if you want to duck and dive, then your problem gets worse, because then when they do the investigation and then they find out you didn't give them the proper information from day one, then they come hard on you. So then there will be a lot of people going to be deported from this country. That I can write it on the wall today, Shafad.
Ahmed, you got deportation. Who pays for the deportation? Are the taxpayers paying for that too?
The taxpayers pay for that. But now in our case, you know, we don't have too much of money, but they'll have to find a way how to deport these people. Because, you know, when you got about a couple of million Zimbabweans here in this country as well, that's another big issue we face with them. That dilemma, they're being addressed at the parliament level at the moment.
Yeah, I tell you, Ahmed, a fascinating conversation with you this morning. And perhaps your parting words?
Shafad, make dua, inshallah. You know, I've been chosen from the Minara Chamber of Commerce, the Community Builder of the Year Award is on Friday with Minara Chamber. I'm one of the nominees for that award. Make dua, inshallah. If it's in my takbir, I will get that award on Friday, inshallah, Shafad. That is what I to say, and anyone needs any assistance in anything, you have got my number, you can give it to them. Wherever we can help those brothers and sisters, we must be able to help them, Shafad.
Well, don't forget, I know you're going to win the award. You have to mention your platforms that you appear on. Say, listen, I'm a Community Builder of the Year. You listen to me on Straight Talk. Will you do that, Ahmed?
Inshallah.
I know you will do it, Ahmed. We are one. Allah keep you. Allah bless you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.